We have two short passages of Scripture that I'd like to share with you today as we look at this idea of riding the waves of change. The first is from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 54, verse 10, where the prophet Isaiah says this, speaking for God: "The mountains and hills may crumble, but my love for you will never end. I will keep forever my promise of peace, so says the Lord who loves you." And then from the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 1 through 3 and verses 7 through 8, we read this: "Keep on loving one another as Christians. Remember to welcome strangers in your homes. There were some who did that and welcomed angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them. Remember those who are suffering as though you were suffering as they are. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us through these words of faith and through the whispers of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Between Christmas and New Year's this year, I do this every year, but I went through old files and I started purging stuff that I don't need anymore. And while I was doing this, I ran into this note from a guy by the name of Robert. Robert was our church janitor in the early 90s. He was also a medical doctor who moved to the U.S. from Poland and was studying to get his medical credentials in the United States. And in order to keep a roof over his family's head, he did a number of odd jobs, and along with being our janitor. Well, let me just read a portion of his note to me. "Hi, Mark. Remember me telling you about this thing called the internet? I think it's going to be a real big deal. I think the church should have what they call a web page where we can put pictures and tell a little bit about us and let them know where we are and what time our worship service is. If you want me to connect us with someone who can get us connected, let me know. I think it would be a good thing. Robert." I think Robert was onto something. But sometimes doing something new, doing something different, doing something that requires us to change is scary. We don't know what to expect. It may fail, it may backfire, or it may be the internet, the next big thing. The other day I was reading the book Leadership on the Line by Martin Linsky and Ronald Heifetz, and this quote kind of resonated with me. "People don't resist change, they resist loss. Even when change is due to the best of circumstances, it requires us to lose something. Whether it's a routine, a relationship, familiarity, a place that holds special meaning to us, change means entering the unknown. Change means having to relearn something. Change requires you to face the reality that you're not in control. And change often makes us face things that we would rather avoid and limits us to the status quo." Well, maybe I'm getting older. No comment, choir. But I was talking to a friend of mine that I grew up with the other day, and we were talking about the good old days and how life was different back then. We grew up in a neighborhood where there was this strong sense of community. On the way to school, we would see people standing at the bus stop with lunch pails and briefcases. They were guys who worked on the assembly line, and there were business owners and lawyers and dentists and doctors. Back then, we weren't all segregated by social status as much as we are today. We all went to Dave Schaefer's Market, Dick Durgan's drugstore, and Gil Morgan's hardware store, all on the corner of Detroit Street and Dewey, two blocks from our house. And oftentimes we would walk there or ride our bikes there. My parents played bridge on Friday night with these shop owners. They were good friends. And if you needed something, you would just call them up or stop in. There were no voice prompts. Press one, press three, press two. There was no artificial intelligence. You had real connections with real people. I miss that a lot. I tried that the other day with Danny Wegman. He never got back to me. For 5 years, I was a paperboy, and I collected every night, every Friday night. I should have collected every night. I collected every Friday night. I knew my customers by name. Most of the time, I knew everyone in the family. I knew what they did for a living. I even knew the name of their dog. Now I have no idea who delivers my paper. I really don't. It just shows up, unless it snows. And it always shows up on my credit card bill. I don't know who delivers it. I think Linsky and Heifetz were right. Change is about loss, and coping with loss involves grief. It involves recognizing that things have changed, while appreciating what was, even if it's a glorified version. But it also requires us to come to grips that it's probably never going to be that way again. It's a loss. Melinda Seeley, who's a counselor who specializes in grief and loss, says that any loss we experience, big or small, is cause for grief. Not just the death of someone or something traumatic, but even the simplest changes are a source of loss and grief. This fall, my college roommate sent his third and last child, youngest child, off to college. And he was telling me just how difficult it is for he and his wife, Bonnie. Empty nesters. Some of us know what that's like. And I'm guessing he was also feeling the financial pain that comes with having three kids in college all at the same time. But you don't have to be a student of human history to know we're going through a period of tremendous change in our culture from what was to what will be. And we're all trying to navigate in that land in between. In high school, I remember reading the book Future Shock. How many of you read that? I mean, remember reading it? Yeah. Alvin and Heidi Toffler. And they wrote, basically, that too much change in too short a period of time has a psychological impact on people. The book was written in 1970. You think things have changed since then? And then there was this 2014 study by NASA's Goddard Space Center that highlighted the possibility that our current civilization could collapse in the coming decades due to the increasing in unequal wealth distribution and the lack of our ability to cope with the increasing pace of change. It's kind of scary. So how do we ride the waves of change? We know we have little power to prevent these waves from crashing on our shores. So how do we get on our surfboards and learn to ride them rather than being overwhelmed by them? Well, in our scripture reading for today from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, you get the idea that even back then people worried about change and not knowing, and they were worried about the insecurity of their future. And then Isaiah, speaking for God, states, "The mountains and hills may crumble, but my love for you will never end." In other words, everything around us, even the mountains, will eventually crumble. But God is still God. And God's got this. God says, "I will keep forever my promise of peace." Plainly put, our peace is not found in the things of the world, but in the promises of God. Before moving here to New York in 2008, I did a lot of consulting with churches, and the main issue they were dealing with is change. They would say, in the 1950s and the 1960s, we were bursting at the seams. And now our congregation is mainly comprised of seniors, and unless things change, we're going to have to close our doors. But most of these congregations were unwilling to do anything different than what they'd done in the past. Their fear of change prevented them from reaching new generations. I look across the street at Shopping Town. Who would have ever thought in less than 50 years it would become Ghost Town? That Sears would be on the verge of liquidating? That Penney's and Lord & Taylor's would be a shell of their former selves? That Smith, Corona, and Kodak were has-beens? To be honest, I'm still grieving the loss of Sears. I used to go almost every Saturday morning to the Sears in downtown with my dad, and we'd look at Craftsman tools, and we'd pick up chocolate-covered peanuts to take home to my mom. See, my dad bought a bunch of tools, and he thought buying the chocolate-covered peanuts would cover that. You know, I checked the other day. I was wondering if Amazon had chocolate-covered peanuts. They do. But I don't think it's the same, do you? You remember walking into Sears and that smell, the popcorn and the chocolate-covered peanuts? It's just not the same from Amazon. So we're in a time of constant and dramatic change. And it's hard. And it's a loss. And we grieve. Jesus even said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away. It will. But my word will never pass away. So what do we hang on to? What is truly solid and secure? What is fleeting? What is eternal? We live in a time of constant and rapid change, but in our reading for today from the book of Hebrews, the writer says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything around us, everything else changes. Yet Scripture tells us that God is a constant. God is Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, and everything in between. So in this sea of constant change, as followers of Christ, we believe in the only thing that doesn't change, and that's God. And God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And what should our response to that be? How about, and I will not be afraid? No matter what comes my way, no matter how much things change or how painful and scary it may be, I will not be afraid. The words, fear not, appear 365 times in the Bible, a reminder for each and every day of the year. No matter how much things may change and how disconcerting that change may be, God says, fear not, I've got this. Do not let your heart be troubled. In Psalm 118:6, the psalmist writes, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? In Psalm 46, we read, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. Though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the hearts of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult, I will not fear. St. Paul wrote in the book of Romans this question, can anything separate us from the love of Christ? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? And St. Paul's response, no. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. And I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Now I want you to think of some change that you've recently had to deal with, some loss that you may be grieving. Could be the death of someone close to you. It could be a change in your work life or in your family. It may just be the challenge of coping with all the change that's going on in our world. And I want you to think this. Maybe put it on your refrigerator. God is still God. And God's got that. God is still God. And God's got that. So as we go through all this change, as we trust that no matter what happens, God will always be with us, how does it change how we live? In our reading from the book of Hebrews, the writer gives us some suggestions. And it basically comes down to this. Keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. Focus on others instead of obsessing about yourself. He writes, keep on loving one another as Christians. Remember to welcome strangers in your home. There were some who did that, and they welcomed angels without even knowing it. You never know the impact that your kindness and compassion will have. Do it anyway. You never know how the ripples of your actions will impact the world around you, but don't let that keep you from acting. He writes, remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them. Remember those who are suffering as though you were suffering as they are. Then the writer of Hebrews says something kind of interesting. He says, and I'm assuming it was he, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. I find these words both interesting and challenging. As I look back over the course of my life, there have been probably hundreds of people who've made an incredible impact in my life. Parents, grandparents, teachers, coaches, Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, neighbors. And their examples have provided me a template to follow. Thank God for the people in our lives who show us a path. And this passage also makes me think about the example that I set for others. If others follow my example, will that be a good thing? If I'm honest, I know the answer to that question is not always. Will the example I provide to others point people towards God or away from God? So maybe my goal should be to be a little more deliberate about the examples that I model for others. In Exodus 3:15, when Moses encounters God at the burning bush, God instructs Moses to go to his people. And Moses asks, and if they ask me, what is God's name? What should I tell them? And God says to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. The great Methodist pastor Maxie Durham once wrote, God's name is I am. Do not live in the past, for I am not there. My name is not I was. Do not live in the future, I am not there. My name is not I will be. Meet me in the present moment, for my name is I am. I love that. Riding the waves of change means that we don't live in the past, clinging to the things that once were. It doesn't mean living in the future, waiting for the next big thing that may happen. Riding the waves of change is about living in the now. We see God's movement as we look at the past. We anticipate God's presence as we look to the future. But it's in the now, the right now, that we can experience God's presence. Let's pray. Lord God, we admit that sometimes we are overwhelmed with all the change in this world. We grieve the loss of what was, and we're uncertain of what will be. Help us to live in the present, not with fear, but with faith, knowing that you are with us no matter what. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.